You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. My name is Kirk Barron, and I'm your host today. And boy, do I have a great treat for you. I got a good friend of mine, and we're going to be talking about a subject that I just have a hard time figuring out anything about. It's how to get on the first page of Google. And so if you're a dental practice and you're trying to be visible and create a great flow of new patients that are the right type of patients, you're going to want to stick around and listen to this. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. You will absolutely love this. Now, we are shooting this on Facebook Live, so you can ask questions at any point, and I'll dish them to Sean because we want you to get the most out of this. And if you're joining us for the first time, I just want to welcome you to an important community. We love this community. This morning, we did a masterclass, had a bunch of dentists on it, and just learning about great concepts that everybody can grow with. We just never want to stop learning, so just want to welcome you. Also, want to encourage you that wherever you subscribe to podcasts, make sure you subscribe, whether it be on Apple or Google or Spotify or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe because you're going to see we're going to be bringing you a brand new speaker, key opinion leader every single week, and I would hate for you to miss out on that. We also take a ton of notes, so make sure you visit back to wherever you subscribe from, and you'll see all the show notes. So everything that Sean and I discussed today, you're going to see it on there. And then also join us over at our private Facebook group where the conversation continues on. So if you have questions, I want you to make sure that you feel very well supported over there. A lot of great stuff over there. So join in. But I want to introduce my guest today. And Sean, you've been a great friend of ACT Dental's, not only through the pandemic. Well, we knew you before the pandemic. Got to know you really well during the pandemic, and then you've just become a great ally, great friend of ours, and couldn't be more grateful. But I always love for people to know who they're talking to before we get into the subject. So tell us, who is Sean White from Whiteboard?
Yeah. Thanks, Kirk. Great to be on here. Obviously, appreciate the kind words. Love ACT Dental as well. Just a good, such a great group of people. But Sean White, I'm the CEO of Whiteboard Marketing. Our company began in 2005, and we really specialize in dental practice marketing. We're an outsourced marketing department for dental practices really across the country. So we specialize in building websites or taking over management of websites and driving traffic to it through internet marketing, whether that's search engine optimization, pay-per-click marketing. Really like to build reviews and generate online reviews, protect reputations for that, and make sure your business listings are nice and clean, and do some traditional marketing as well based on the goals. So really kind of an all-in-one solution for dental practice marketing. So that's who we are.
Awesome. Well, you guys are going to love this. Hold on. Let me get the right screen here. But I want to talk about the why before we get into the how, because I always feel like that's really important. And this has been one of those things. I think Google is an inevitable piece of doing business now. You can't avoid Google. You can't ignore Google. You have to get on it. But why is this conversation about being on the front page so important when you're talking to a dentist about their dental practice?
Great question. You know, so many dentists have one goal in mind: to increase their patient base. I would like to have new patients. I want to make sure I increase my product production year over year, different things like that. And it's important to understand and be realistic with that expectation. So why it's important is to understand what the topic today is, obviously how to get on the first page of Google and own some real estate on there. And I think it's important that we talk a little bit about today when we get started here about what the opportunities are, where the availability is, and how do we actually get there. And understanding a little bit more of that from an actual dental practice point of view will help understand, number one, how difficult it can be for your existing marketing partner to get you there, you know, the expense tied with it, and then the expectation in terms of, okay, I've done all this to get there. Now, am I actually tracking the results of my efforts to get there, and am I getting my return on investment? So that's what's, you know, a big important part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have so many questions to ask you. Like, okay, so this isn't like the old days where you just got to Google, you know, a website and then went up there. And then you had this this section of sponsored ads where people were competing for that. And now how the heck can a new dentist come in right down the street and jump right in front of me when I've been trying to do this thing for such a long time? So there's a lot of complexities on this. And then also too, I mentioned this, I watched the movie Social Dilemma. And if you guys haven't watched that, yeah, it's going to mess you up more than anything, because now I'm like, oh, great. Now there's AI involved and all this stuff. So unpackage this for us. Where would I even start if I wanted to get on the front page of Google with my practice?
Yeah, if we could, I'd like to start just by showing that one screen that we put together. I think it's the second one after this. So what, click on here?
You betcha. So let me...
second slide, I guess. There we go.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yeah. So is there a full screen view of this we can look at? What we call a search engine results page. Okay. So think of it as I'm looking for a product or service. I'm always going to open up Google, whether it's on my phone, whether it's on my desktop. And the first thing I do is type in that keyword in that search bar, right? So that's that top area right there, the very top area. And the thing that people need to understand is Google records single search that everybody does on a second by second basis. So obviously there's billions of searches happening at a constant pace. And that information is recorded into a data bank. And that data is available for marketing agencies like ourselves to get access to understand the volume of particular keywords that are searched that are related to a category that you're in, an example of dentistry. So that's the first step, right? Is that search bar. And there's essentially about four areas, sometimes five, that you can actually have the opportunity to show up on that search engine results page or the first page of Google. So that's the holy grail, right? If you can own as much real estate in all these areas on the first page of Google, your percentage of a click or an opportunity goes up tremendously, because you essentially are owning and taking up more space than the next person. So here's the first part, the first area that you can show up, which you kind of mentioned before. And that's where Google pay-per-click comes in perspective. So the green horizontal square there, Google pay-per-click. There's typically one to four areas at the very top that you can pay to show up as a result from a particular keyword that's searched. So if someone types in best dentist near me and your marketing company is bidding on that keyword because they found in your area that 590 people on average per month actually search for that keyword, then chances are that's a good opportunity for you to bid on that word, right? So that you get a potential click. So that's the first space, and you know, it's at the very top, and people say, you know, hey, I never click on that, so I don't want to be on there. You know, those are opinions that you have to set aside. You can't really take your own personal opinion. You have to look at the data. So approximately 15% or so, give or take, are actually clicking on that ad. And a lot of those folks are highly qualified because they know they're being sold something. They're kind of in a hurry. They need to get something done, like an appointment scheduled or some type of a interest build. I'm going to give you my information so you can follow up with me. So those are higher qualified leads a lot of times, and a lot of higher converting leads. But a lot of times people don't really want to click on that because they feel like they're being sold something. So they're going to continue to scroll down to the next area. But the good point is that impression has been made on that ad. It's one of the first things that they read. So if XYZ Dental is in, you know, one or two of those ads, you know, first place or second place, third place, whatever, it's at least a registration and an impression that they're putting upon that prospect. And so as you scroll down, you know, it's the map area, right? And typically there's three results called the Google Local 3-pack. And those are all organic, and we can talk about those here in just a minute. But Google also allows you to pay to be on top of there. And there's a lot of good areas. That's the second area that you can show up on, right? There's a lot of good reasons why you'd want to do that. Sometimes you have dental practices that offer something unique. Maybe it's a sedation dentistry that they've kind of equipped themselves with there that they're local competition may not have. You have a lot of fear going to the dentist. A lot of times folks are going to be looking in that 3 to 5 mile radius to find a dentist. If you want to expand that radius a little bit and try to attract folks outside of your suburb in that 3 to 5 mile radius, and you want to do it using a unique selling proposition such as sedation dentistry, then you can pay to be on top of that map area too. Because what we'll get to is Google looks at proximity of your search, the relevance of the search, and the amount of reviews you have. Those are three major components that they look at to dictate if you show up on that local 3-pack. So if you're just starting out or you're looking to kind of get ahead a little bit, you can use pay-per-click to make sure you're showing up at the top of that map area in that radius or even outside of it. And that's the beauty of pay-per-click, right? You can turn it on, turn it off, you can pause it, you can increase your budget, decrease your budget really at any time at a flip of a switch. And you can also target certain, you know, geo-targets. So I want to, you know, I'm really not doing as well as I want to in this particular area, and I know my demographics, you know, live there. I really want to start, you know, trying to grab from that area. Well, you can deliver those particular ads just to those people in those zip codes or that radius of an area that you want to kind of zone out, whatever you want. It's the same thing with the map. So that really helps you, you know, expose yourself if you're struggling to get on that organic result of the map. So those are two areas, Kirk, and when it has to do with pay-per-click. And that can happen fairly quickly as well.
Yeah. And you don't want to go crazy with this. Like when I first got on there, and thank God you guys did ours, made ours visible. You can spend a lot of money right away if you don't know what you're doing, right? Like you should go in. My first thought is on the 3-pack, when you're talking about proximity, relevancy, and Google reviews, like probably do the things that are easiest and free first before you start spending a lot of money to do that.
Yeah, it's I'm sure everyone's heard the word optimization, right? Optimizing this, optimizing that. And the time, energy, and effort you put on trying to figure it out is money too. I mean, your time is money. You've got to put an hourly rate on your time.
Right.
And if you're a dentist trying to figure out how to work all this stuff, you're essentially wasting money in our opinion, right? We want you to be in the chair, treating your patients how you want to be treated and doing what you're best at and investing in third-party resources to really make sure that we're going to help get people in the chair there. So consider that too in terms of wasting money too, trying to figure, because what Google does, and trust me, this is where Google makes their billions. So I'm sure everyone here has gotten that letter in the mail, that postcard from Google, and it says, here's free $150 to try our pay-per-click program. You know, number one, $150 isn't going to get you anywhere, right? But it's like crack to a crackhead. They give you a little bit, and then they want you to continue to do it and just kind of forget about it. But guess what? Your credit card gets charged $150 every single month after that, you know, because they essentially just keep it running and it's not doing any good. But they do make it easy. I mean, it's a nice dashboard, but you really have to be knowing. There's so many components to it. You got to be knowing what you're doing to really take advantage of it. But in terms of real estate, that's the first two areas that you can really soak up at the very top of the page. The Google pay-per-click and the map ads as well.
Okay. Okay.
And then, you know, moving ahead to another area that you can soak in and kind of show up is the Google Local 3-pack. So as I mentioned before, proximity. So what does that mean? That means that, you know, I'm at 5950 Venture Drive in Dublin, Ohio. Okay. So if I'm searching a keyword like best dentist near me, Google is going to try to match me up with local dentist here within my zone, my radius, if you will. But then they're only going to show up dentists that they feel have made it quicker for them to match up. So they're going to have, Google My Business page is optimized. So they have everything filled out, right? They have keywords that are relevant to my search. So if you can put best dentist in Dublin, and I'm searching best dentist near me, they're going to match up those keywords. If you have them in certain areas, potentially you've done a good job of consistently getting Google reviews, which I know we talked about on the last podcast. Relevancy of your search. We talked about that. Yeah, the proximity, relevancy, and the reviews. So those are three major components, and that's another area. So you could essentially show up twice in that area. You could show up once in the paid map. You can also show up once in the Google Local 3-pack. So then, you know, when the unicorn hits, right, you have the area on the map, the Google ads, Google pay per click at the top, you have a Google map ad, and then you have the result of the Google. So right away, you're already in that top half of the first page of Google, which your chances of getting clicked there already are increasing tremendously, because people then become curious and interested. Wow, they're all over the place. Let's check them out.
Right.
And you get the click.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it's a conversion path, and there's a lot of things, other things to talk about there. But right away, if you can get in those first three, that's a great opportunity, obviously, to get that click. And that's what you're trying to do, is give yourself that opportunity.
Right. Because I want to ask you this too. You know, the joke was a couple of years ago, the best place to hide a dead body was on page two of Google. You know, is that true still to this day? And so when it comes to this, if I'm a dental practice owner, do you pretty much want to be on the first page and then that's it? Or, I mean, is it true that there's that much of a drop off when you look at heat maps to page two, page three, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think the simple thing is, you know, whoever's listening and yourself, do you ever actually go to page two or three? Do you ever go to page two or three? And I do if I'm really trying to dig in and find something I need to research for, but I'm doing a lot of research. But when there's plenty of results to be had on that first page, there's typically three or four results in the pay-per-click, three or four on the map, and 10 on the SEO results. Plus sometimes there's ads at the bottom too. So there's 20 to 25 potential, you know, results on that first page, which is enough for most folks to be able to look at. So there's sometimes they don't even know how to go to the second page. They don't even know how to get there. It's at the very bottom, it's an arrow, and they don't even know what it is. So the answer is yes. You want to be on the first page. Now, if you're on the second page or the third page or fourth page, the good news there is that you're indexed for that particular keyword. And if it's a keyword that demands volume, meaning, you know, you're there and there's a good enough volume to try to continue to work on getting from page two or three to page one, that gives you, you know, a goal to hit. But if you're not indexed at all, you know, you're on page 10, you have a long way to go, then you have to be patient with that in terms of your organic results, which we got to talk about here too.
All right.
Right. So that leads me to that fourth area.
All right. Let's go to SEO, yeah. which is still a super hard thing to figure out. And you're really talking about organic. Is that what you're talking?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's local SEO, which is really has to do with that map area, the business listings and all that stuff. That's more local because, you know, your Google is matching up from a proximity perspective and trying to gather your local results there, which SEO can do as well. But SEO is more broad too. So if you want to say, hey, you know, best interest in central Minnesota or Minneapolis versus a suburb of Minneapolis, you know, so there's lots of differences there. And so typically, obviously, you have the pay-per-click at the top, the map ad, the Google local three-pack result, and then below that are 10 results, which is basically your SEO efforts. That's where that lands. And anywhere from 60 to 70% or so of people click in that area, especially if they're searching on Google on desktop versus mobile. Mobile, you're going to get a ton of clicks, calls, and stuff from your map results. A lot of times on desktops and devices like that, you know, you're going to get a lot more clicks on SEO, this bottom 10 results. And what people have to understand is Google gets paid $0 to have you show up at that top. So, you know, they change their algorithm. I'm sure a lot of have heard this, you know, 500 to 600 times, or excuse me, a few thousand times a year, multiple times a day, a month, whatever it might be. They come in with these huge waves of big time algorithm changes that basically continues to help make it difficult for SEOs to continue to keep them on the first page of Google. They want you to make sure you earn that because they make it so difficult that they want you to basically give up and say, I'm just going to pay for it at the top because that's where they make all their money.
That's what I yeah. do. And that's why yeah. I'm glad you're my friend because I have no idea. And it's almost overwhelming. Like it's a waste of time for me to try to figure that out. But boy, I don't know.
You can't control the internet, right? You can't right. control exactly. All you can do is follow white hat best practices, do what you're supposed to do. You know, don't give up. It's a drip. When it comes to SEO, you can start it, but you can't stop it. And that's the unfortunate part. And right. because with pay-per-click, you can start it and stop it whenever you want. And pay-per-click actually drives SEO clicks, right? So we talked about before, it's about impression. So if I'm using pay-per-click as a means to generate leads, but I also have a result on the SEO results, but as a prospect, I'm not really comfortable with clicking on the ad area. I've been impression of your practice name. I've seen it. I'm going to scroll down. I see you again. And typically that will drive a click. So that's been proven. PPC is proven to drive SEO clicks. So that's about owning real estate. Now, there's so many things underneath each one of those that we can talk about on how you get there. But in general, pay-per-click, obviously, you know, you can buy your way there, particular keywords, you know, particular budgets on how the budget works. Same with area. There's also different sister products of pay-per-click. So you have remarketing where you have, you know, the display ads and things like that you can do. And you have the retargeting component of it. So there's a few other products. You have YouTube ads that you can do that falls under pay-per-click. You know, really if it fits your practice and depending on what your goals are. But yeah, PPC, the map ad, the Google Local 3-pack, and the SEO. And a lot of times there's even pay-per-click at the bottom there. For those who have been beaten out at the top area from a budget perspective. But if you can get ownership in all those areas, your percentage of a click goes up tremendously.
Okay, so let's talk about SEO, which would be organic, you know, and dumb this down as the most simple fashion so that we can all understand it. But a lot of that's going to be around your content creation, things that you're doing naturally to be visible, whether you have a blog as a dentist or whatever, you're producing videos, all that kind of stuff. Give us an idea how we boost the SEO or organic piece of it.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's well over 200 actual ranking factors that Google looks at when it comes to SEO. And, you know, let's face it, Google has about 90% market share and you have Bing as well and a couple of really small ones, but Google is where you want to focus your efforts on. And really it's you know, people have to understand you can't over optimize your site. You can't do so much at once because you get, you know, those are triggers and you really got to follow the rules and then how to try to translate the rules and, you know, try to understand what Google really likes. They make it so cryptic the entire time. So it's always such a constant challenge in trying to understand exactly what they want you to do to be on that first page. But in general, you mentioned content, right? You first want to be foundationally sound on your website. So kind of like on-page SEO, having a lot of the basic fundamental check marks, you know, even small things as your domain, if it's set to private versus public, that's one small factor, right? Having your little favicons up, and when you look at your search engine tabs at the top, whatever the tabs that you have open on Chrome or whatever browser that you're using, if you see the little W on there, that stands for WordPress, that means nobody has built your favicon or put your little logo icon on there. That's a very, very small factor, but it's one of a couple hundred that makes sense for a long-term SEO success. Then you have H1 and H2 tags, which are just different labels of content on your subpages and where things are, you know, the list goes on and on. So, but the constant content that's created and unique that you're feeding your website, because again, I think I mentioned this before, all of us are Google customers. All of us are Google customers. And if you as a business continue to make Google customers experience fresh and unique, up to date, you know, you're taking care of their customers by always feeding them good information, then they're going to continue to reward you. If you participate in all Google products, I mean, the Google My Business, and you're doing posting there and you're updating photos there, you're making that experience for their prospects or for their customers pleasant, you should get rewarded for that. So blogs is a great excuse to create unique content. It can be a pain to do, but if you attack it the appropriate way, you know, you can do that because you can schedule blogs once you get those done onto your content management system, and you know, getting them written and optimized with certain keywords and trying to match those up with the seasonalities of your business, you know, teeth whitening and wedding season, and, you know, all those types of things that definitely helps because you're throwing out unique content that's actually being proactively searched in certain times of the year.
Yeah. Right. Let me ask you a question. So our good friend Deepak, who I love you, Deepak, he's so great at asking questions. He asked this one, you know, Google as a search engine is so prominent. It seems we almost take it for granted. It will be on top forever. Any thoughts on some others like Firefox, Microsoft Edge, DuckDuckGo, gaining any share of what Google does? Any thoughts on that or not?
Yeah. You know, if you talk to SEOs and you talk to a lot of professionals, a lot of times they just basically follow Google's lead. And as a small business owner, you don't have the budget typically, you don't have the time, energy, and effort to try to be everywhere, you know, all the time. So you really have to, you know, make your decision to concentrate on where the majority of the population prospect wise is going to be living. And another thing too, along with that is, when you're not really doing a proactive internet marketing, you know, campaign on a consistent basis, and you basically decided you're going to, and where you start, and you either partner up with somebody or whatever the case is, at the time you're only exposed to a certain percentage of the population because everyone else is showing up. But once you start adding content to your website, putting, you know, your name, address, phone number accurate across the directory, maybe doing some pay-per-click, generating some content for SEO, you are going to start to show up in a lot of areas. And some of these search engines are hungry for this information, so they'll grab it from one place and put it on there. So by default, it will kind of spill over. But ultimately, when it comes to dental practices, you know, you're just going to want to focus on where most people are living, if you will.
All right. So take us through the next stage of this. So once we figured out the three, we move on to SEO. What other considerations do we have to get anywhere near first page?
Yeah. So it's about consistency, Kirk, and it's about commitment and patience. You know, like I mentioned before with pay-per-click, I think most of us know, you can get up there in a fairly quick time frame. And what do I mean by quick? You know, 1 to 2 weeks, really. I mean, you throw out ads and you do all your research into what you want to do and you put them out there. Then you have to optimize them along the way. If the ones aren't performing versus the ones that are, you know, you have to make those adjustments. And It has to propagate, be delivered, and you have to try to spend the budget. Sometimes it's a lot difficult to spend the budget. Sometimes it's very easy to spend the budget on pay-per-click, and then you're running out at 1:15 in the afternoon, but there's plenty more impression share to be had. And then, you know, obviously you want to try to track the return on that. So if you're spending $1,000 on pay-per-click and, you know, you decide to spend, $30 a day, if you will, to get to that, you know, approximately $1,000 a month, then you're running out at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, what do those leads look like up to 1 o'clock? Are they converting into new patients? Are you tracking those with a phone number and a web form tracker? And are you actually spending the time to match those results up with your new patient list? And sometimes you can't do that till about a month later because, you know, the new patient doesn't really become a new patient for, you know, a few days or weeks afterwards. But you can essentially disappear off the first page, right? If you don't keep track of where your budget, you know, lies, lives, and all that, so you can, you know, make sure you're still on there. And then, so that's pay-per-click, right? And then, you know, when it comes to the MAP 3-pack, you know, why is it a drip campaign? Well, because I mentioned before, Google My Business has really developed and grown as a product. So what's Google My Business? That's that area on the right side that shows up. It's called the Knowledge Panel, and it's powered by your Google My Business page in the back end. That's where your pictures show up, your little map area, right, where your reviews are and your address and all those different things. There's Google Post there too, which is proven if you post on Google and you refresh it on a particular basis, consistent basis, the results show up more than maybe your next door neighbor as a competitor would. So paying attention to that and on a consistent basis, you can't just do it once and just let it go. That's the challenge, right? And expect the results that you're looking for. So that's that area. And again, with SEO, you can't over-optimize your site, because the biggest thing that SEO's challenges that we have is, hey, I searched for myself, or I searched for this and I didn't come up, you know, and why is that? Why am I paying you all this money and I'm not even showing up for that? So what SEO is about generating opportunity, phone calls and web forms and web chats. The days of keyword rankings and searching for yourself and not showing up, you can't have that mindset anymore. You got to look at the back end data, right? You have to have your conversion tracking set up on your Google Analytics. So that is the real true testament to the efficacy of SEO, right? Is having your conversion set up directly. And that's what the goal should be of your marketing partner yourself, is tying lead generation to your SEO efforts. So if you're spending $10,000 a year on SEO, right, on a 12-month basis, how many new patients do I need to generate? What kind of revenue number do I need to generate to get that return back? So if you back into it and you say, you know, each one of my annual patients from a new perspective are $500 to $700 with a couple of cleanings of the year, x-rays, and that's kind of my average. But from a seven-year perspective, it might be, you know, quite a bit more than that. How many of those do I need to generate to get that $10,000 back? And any SEO company that's confident in what they do should be more than confident telling you that you're going to get at least 2 to 4 patients a month on a minimum just from your SEO efforts. And to create a peace of mind, you got to try to separate some time, or have your practice administrator separate some time, and really look at matching up the results that your partner will give you versus your actual new patient conversions and your treatment plans attached to it.
Yeah, see, that would be my first question, is like, okay, I understand that, but how do we track whether the patient naturally came through? Because patients aren't just going one place anymore. They're hearing about you from multiple places, whether your social media presence, they might have heard about you from a friend. Then they did a Google search on you and it verified what they'd already heard. And so you're going to want some type of an internal system to be able to track this, right? So that you know exactly where this patient came from and if your ROI is paying off.
Definitely. There's two sides of that story, right? The first story is, hey, Kirk, you should go see Dr. Smith. He's a great dentist, and our family has been going to him for years because I know you're looking for a new one. Hey, Sean, thanks for the referral. I appreciate it. I'm going to go and I'm going to basically look at your reviews. I'm going to hopefully, if I find your reviews and I like what I see, I might visit your website. Your website loaded quickly. I checked out the Meet the Team page, which is one of the top visited pages on dental practices. I kind of feel like I fit the personality of the practice, right? And then, okay, I'm going to decide to make a call. You know, the click to call button's right there from my phone. Everything's really working out really well, right, in terms of that conversion. That's one area, right? And you got to be fundamentally sound in those components to be able to convert that referral lead that you got. However, the other side of the story is I'm not getting a referral from anybody. So I'm going to proactively search because I came in from out of town. COVID hit. I wasn't happy with the sterilization protocols that my current dentist, adopted or lack thereof. So I'm going to look for another dentist. So I'm proactively searching for safe dentist near me, right? Best dentist near me, whatever those keywords are that come out of my mind onto the keyboard, which typically will match up with a certain portion of the population, right? And so there is where you're using, you know, the lead generating internet marketing tools like pay-per-click, Facebook pay-per-click. You know, you've worked hard over time to organically show up to take advantage of those proactive searches that are there. You've got your address, name, address, phone number clean across the business directory listings. You're paying attention to your Google My Business page and proactively paying attention and doing different things on there. So now you're showing up in one or more areas on that first page of Google. You get the click or you get the phone call. If you get the click, is it leading them to the area that they're particularly searching for? Does your website load fast? You know, are you have this conversion rate optimization implemented in your website? You know, your header and footers all fundamentally sound. You know, you have a call to action, request appointment. Do you have modernized patient experiences? Can I pay my bill online? Can I chat with somebody? Because I can't really talk with them. I really don't want to talk with anybody live. I'd rather chat with them. You know, can I schedule appointment online? Those are so many of the factors that people consider. And that's what you're doing all along to continue that flow of those new patient opportunities.
Right. So you get a ton of dentists that call you and say, I need help with this. What's the one thing that you see they get wrong the most? Because I had a dentist call me this morning and I'm like, you got to talk to Sean. So what do dentists get wrong most about this?
Well, you know, Kirk, I kind of hate to say it, but I think it's the expectations on their investment and what they expect in return. Especially when they're not doing much at all, they're kind of doing a few things here and there. Maybe they got their name on the billboard or the baseball sign, mm-hmm. or you know, whatever it might be. And for them to hear what everything costs is sometimes a sticker shock.
Right.
And but if we ask dental practices, you know, how many new patients are you seeing on a monthly basis on average? And they'll say, well, about 15 or so. Okay, well, what's your goal? Oh, I'd like to see about 25. That's really what I've kind of, you know, decided that would be a good pace. So ultimately, we're kind of responsible or trying to generate 10 new incremental patients on a monthly basis. We don't want them to stop doing what they're doing for those 15. We want to find out how they're getting them. Maybe we can enhance those. Typically, it's referrals, maybe a sign out front, those different types of things. So, and we're going to obviously evaluate what they're not doing. And so if we're responsible for trying to generate 10 more patients on average on a monthly basis, we've got to get to work on that, right? And we're going to, you know, look at the foundational components. Is their website set up correctly? All their local SEO, those different types of things. But to do, and you said it so yourself, there's so many different other factors that people are considering and during their decision-making process to finally make that call or fill out that form. And that could be social media, that could be your reviews, that could be your SEO, it could be your website, you know, it could be your technology that you have set up on your website. There's so many different things. So if you want to be available and you want to have a good presence in all those factors, then it costs money to do that. And typically, it's a really good value for marketing partners to do that for you, because it's really tough to try to find someone. Number one, they don't exist, right? There's not that person out there that exists that can build your website, do SEO as often as you need to do it, do pay-per-click, do your social media, do your online reviews, respond to all of them, protect your reputation, do your business listings. That person doesn't exist. And if they did, they would be a significant amount of money, you know? So look at it that way and just be realistic with your expectations and know that you need to be committed to it. So that's probably the biggest challenge up front.
I would completely agree with you, because I was looking for the holy grail of somebody to handle all of it. And what I've come to the conclusion about, at least today, is I have to be the quarterback of this. And then you have certain partners that do things that you shouldn't be spending any time with, like you guys. I love having you guys handle all of our Google. Listen, because I couldn't even get into it. Like, it took me forever to get into it, unlock the keys. I didn't know what was going on there. But at the end of the day, it's got to be an authentic approach. And it's further complicated by the fact that Google changes the algorithm, you said, what, 1,000 times a year?
So more than that,
That's actually kind of a it's kind of an uphill battle for most of us, myself included. So
that's why we have a company.
Absolutely.
our dental clients, you know, they have a continuing education for a dentist, right? Well, we need continuing education as well too. So we're constantly trying to stay on top of it then, because most of the time there'll be a Google will make a change or Facebook will make a change. They don't announce these things most of the time. You just kind of come across them and then you dig in, read forums, contact Google, ask them about it. You know, there's constant things going on. So, but ultimately you have to get, without sales, nothing happens. You got to get your phone to ring more than it is. You got to be able to convert new prospects over the phone and over chat and over web forms. You got to have scheduling ambassadors if you really are truly interested in growing the practice.
Absolutely. What other considerations do we have to be anywhere close to page one?
I think we covered a good amount of it. I think, you know, let your marketing partner do what they have claimed they can do. You know, make sure you take the time to set aside to try to learn what they're doing, give them a chance to explain what's going on, reconcile what they're saying, that these should be new patients. You know, are they, because that's really what, you know, your return's going to come on there, right? So take, and a lot of people don't want to spend that kind of time because it does take time to do that. But don't set it and forget it. You know, utilize your marketing partner should be essentially an extension of your employee, except you get access to potentially a dozen or more. You know, we have 30 people that work for us, all specialize in different areas. As a marketing partner, you know, you have that lead, but honestly, you're hiring 30 or so marketing specialists, to be part of your practice. So tap into their knowledge, make sure, you understand what's going on and take the time to look at your ROI.
I do have a specific mechanical question, but the chat feature, you guys had us put us, we had other people say, just put a chat feature on your website. How important is a chat feature? Because I'll just tell you from our own experience, it's amazing how many people communicate with a chat bot instead of actually picking up the phone. Do you find that's true in a dental practice also? Just on the
chat, I mean, there's obviously some things that we really think are important. Number one, it needs to be 24/7, because a certain percentage, I think it's 17% of website traffic comes during the weekend when you're not open, and about 25% comes after hours when you're closed. So having it 24/7 allows those folks to stay on your website, because you have someone engaging with you when they land on it within the first 10 seconds versus bouncing and looking for something else as they're in that kind of research mode. You know, you don't need to go anywhere else. You're in the right place and you found it. How can we help you? Right. And so that's an outsourced solution, obviously, and it works really well. So it's in the chatbot thing, you know, I personally don't like chatbots, but again, I listen to the data from a dental practice perspective, especially when we're a local dentist, we're community, we're family driven, we're culture driven. We welcome you with open arms. Chatbot doesn't really send that message, So, we don't use chatbots with dental clients, but I think web chat, as long as you have enough visitors to warrant it, I think it's a, you know, and think about it, Kirk, chat's not new. It's been here for years. I mean, it's been here for forever. However, it's got this resurgence in the last 12 months where, you know, because people just aren't picking up the phone and wanting to have conversations with anybody, you know, where they'd rather just get it done as quickly as they can.
That's why I want to buy a flip phone again, I think, just because it would make so much better. So cool. I can't thank you enough, buddy. You have been an incredible friend, colleague, you know, educator for us. I know you're going to be with us at the Seattle Study Club Symposium, virtual symposium that's coming up here. I want people to reach out to you. I know people are going to have questions when it comes to this stuff. For the benefit of people that are listening on iTunes that might not be watching it video, how can we find out more about you, how this all works, and what your company does?
Yeah. One thing we did during COVID, as mentioned, we try to put together some practice materials and resources. So if you go to our website, which is up on the screen there, I think, if you throw that back up. Yeah, there it is right there. Thank you. Our website there will lead you to resources that some website audit checklists and some SEO checklists, different things like that. You can also schedule a meeting directly with myself or our CMO, Christy Simone, just by sending us a contact form in there. We do like to kind of, you know, we're a lot like dentists, you know, prospects, patients come in, sit down, open the mouth, you come in with your tools, and a few minutes later, you kind of understand what a treatment plan may look like after an x-ray or two and all that. We're the same way. We use tools. We can visually understand, you know, what improvements that potentially could be made. So we always like to share that information. But website's always a good place to go. And a direct phone call to me is fine too. Which if you call the website, that will go right to me right now. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you, buddy. I know it's Friday afternoon and I'm keeping you from being out with your family, but I can't thank you enough for being on and joining us and always helping our community when it comes to great questions like this. So yeah. Stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. And I want to thank all of you for watching the Best Practices Show. This has been a tremendous year just of collaboration, community, whether you're on ACT Dental U or you're on the Facebook group or you're just following the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share it with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for shows. I got a couple even this morning. Until we see you next time, I guess, just keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your weekend.